Romans chapter 15. Go to verse 30, if you will. Romans 15, verse 30, and this is the word of God. I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf, that I may be delivered from the unbelievers in Judea, that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, so that by God's will I may come to you with joy and be refreshed in your company. May the God of peace be with you all. Let's pray. Father, we're so glad that we have before us today the Word of God. Father, it's true. It is certain. Father, it speaks to us here and now. So we ask for your Spirit's help to take this Word and apply it to the way we think, the way we live, that Christ would be glorified. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. 8 years ago, I reminded you about the dream for our nation that President John Kennedy launched when I was just 4 years old with these words. I believe that this nation should commit itself to achieving the goal before this decade is out of landing a man on the moon and returning him safely to Earth. You know, with the goal in place, now in Shepard, having just returned from our first astronauts to go into space, over the next 8 years, some of you remember that we would gather around mostly black and white television sets in our living rooms or workplaces or our classroom at school to watch these various space launches. 1962, John Glenn went into the first person to circle the Earth, did it three times. 1963, Gordon Cooper becomes the first person to spend more than a day in space, and he circled the Earth 22 times. And then the astronauts' names, you know, became as familiar to us as our neighbors. And each time there was a flight, we greeted it with some anticipation, but also relief when it was over. Finally, the day came, July 20th, 1969, when most of the world watched, or much of the world, as Neil Armstrong took that first step onto the moon. And his intended words were, one small step for a man, one giant leap for mankind. Now, I realize to some of you younger folks, that all seems like small potatoes in the 21st century, that space shuttles and space stations are commonplace. But let me tell you, in 1969, it was a big, big deal to have somebody go up and walk on the moon. Now, this summer begins CMPC's 145th year of ministry. And 28 years ago, we began to pray very specifically that the day would come when CMPC would send out cross-cultural missionaries, people who were members of this church when they got the call to missions and were still members when they went to the field. Along the way, there's been a lot of small steps from the first journey that people took to West Virginia in 1992, to our first international journey to Romania in 95. Some of you remember Nikki Burns became part of our church just before her two-year term in Japan. Kelly Kirkland and the Hammonds serving with Campus Outreach. Christy Bell Boyd and Bethany Bishop Griggs going as missionaries after they left from here. And across the years, teams have gone to some seven states at least, by my count, and at least 30 countries. And those were all steps. Then 8 years ago, we commissioned CMPC's first members to go as cross-cultural missionaries who were called to the mission field while they were here. So when Gary and Tammy Elliott got off that plane in Bulgaria, it was a small step for them. But for the church, it was certainly a giant leap into the future. We've since sent out Tiffany and David and Bethany to unreached peoples. Now, Brian and Megan have been called and prepared to leave for Berlin this week. Noah and Carly Stevens are in the pipeline headed for Thailand. And each time we send out somebody like today, it's a matter of great rejoicing because we're all privileged to be a part of it. Now, why do we say that? In what sense are we a part today that makes it a matter of great rejoicing for us as Megan and Brian begin their excellent adventure? Well, let's go to the text and see. First, remind you that it's the church is all about family. Paul begins, I appeal to you, brothers. You know, Paul had never been to Rome. He had never met most of the church members there. But he calls them brothers. Now, why? Well, there's immediate family connection that we enjoy, like here at the church we have, with people we've never met. When we do meet them and find out they're believers in Jesus Christ. It can be on a mission journey, it can be in your own neighborhood. An immediate connection in Christ. Close bonds are built very quickly with fellow believers, no matter where we are. Those strong family connections that we have will remain between us and Brian and Megan, with Maddie and Julia and their little sister yet to come. With modern technology, we can talk with them, and we can even see them when we talk with them. Don't even need a black and white TV to do that. And let me just say a personal word. Megan's been a part of our congregation since she and her family walked in 25 years ago. We were still in the old building down there when the Roth family arrived. Brian and his family came along 4 years later. And so as a pastor for a long time, it's hard to say goodbye. And I can tell you as a parent, it's hard to say goodbye as well. The relationships we forge as a church family and in our individual families are very strong. So pray for Brian and Megan. Pray for Marty and Susan. Pray for Alan Tracy and all the... There's a lot of siblings around here. Pray for all of them, if you will. Now, in view of that, Paul says, I appeal. Now, that's something too strong to us, but that's a really strong word that has an emotional element to it. It's a word that means to come alongside and assist someone, to give strength to somebody. It was a word they used to exhort the troops as they went into battle, which is appropriate for our context this morning. And the verb tense is the idea of a continual appeal. And the basis of this, it's not just that we're family, but we're Jesus' family. Notice he says, by our Lord Jesus Christ. Charles Hodge puts it this way, for our Lord Jesus Christ's sake. Remember, friends, it's all about Jesus, the head of our family. It's not about us. Paul is appealing for Jesus' sake. And then notice he says, by the love of the Spirit. This is the love that the Spirit brings into the life of believers. It's a fruit of the Spirit that comes from His indwelling us. Romans 5:5 speaks about God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. It's that love that God has for us that enables us to love others. God's love is poured out into our hearts and spills out to others. The Spirit binds us together in love. See, like it or not, we are bound together eternally. F. Scott Fitzgerald, the author, wrote The Great Gatsby, among other things. But when he died, they discovered among his papers a list of future ideas for stories or books. And this was one of them. A widely separated family inherits a house in which they have to live forever. Some of you are dreading that thought, right? But anyway, but that's our story. I mean, look around. A widely connected group of people, and think about globally as well. And yet, what's going to happen? We're going to live together with the Lord for how long? Forever, as a family. And we prepare for that in the here and now, bound together by the Spirit into the body of Christ. A body for which Christ died. And based on that, Paul makes the plea, and it's essential, verse 31, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf. Paul's letters reveal that he's not reluctant to ask people to pray for him. And Paul's language here makes it clear to the Roman church that he's enlisting them for real battle. The word for strive is the same word we get agony from. Originally used in sports to talk about the effort, the agony of a wrestler or a boxer. And it suggests an athlete that gives their best in the contest. Now, Warren Wiersbe points out it doesn't mean that we've got to fight with God to get what we need. Rather, it's suggesting that our prayers, it's not about just being casual to talk with God. But there's heart involved, and there's effort. We should put as much fervor into our praying, he's saying, as a wrestler puts into wrestling. Because you see, there's a spiritual battle raging that you and I cannot see. And Paul's calling us to use our greatest weapon of shock and awe, the ultimate weapon, and that's prayer. But it's not easy, because the devil and the forces of evil are going to fight our attempts at consistent prayer, consistent prayer life, more than at anything else that we do. Do you know that the one way we can know whether or not Satan had his way with us on a particular day is whether or not we pray? Each day we do not pray, Satan gains a victory. Now we begin to see how important unity is, because the task is so great before us. You know, sending Brian and Megan to Berlin is a team effort. It started with their parents, but it includes all of you who taught them in Sunday school or on Wednesday nights in BBS. It includes all of you who are involved with youth ministry here. It includes all those mission journeys they've been on, their internships. It involves all who have encouraged them across the years, all who have supported them, all who have prayed for them, all the students who have been ministered to by them. But here's the thing. Our involvement's not over. That's the reality each of us needs to come to grips with. We strive together with Brian and Megan when we pray for them. We can influence Berlin, Germany every day. Distance does not matter when we are on our knees. We can be anywhere in the world and impact any other place when we pray. We can make a daily difference in Berlin, in Fly Branch, in Manila, in Braselton. And if we do not pray, we lose our privilege to make a difference. What's essential is that we keep prayer God-focused. In other words, as we pray, prayer is about God being at work and not about my personal agenda being enacted. Thy will be done, not my will, on earth as is in heaven. But even though prayer is God-focused, it is personal. Paul says, pray for me. There are a lot of personal pronouns here. It's not because Paul's self-absorbed. It's because Paul knows that he desperately needs the prayers of the people of God as he enters into spiritual warfare. You know, Brian and Megan are engaging the host of Satan himself on the throne, on his throne, on the front lines. And we're the support troops. We're not to leave them without defense or support. Let's not neglect the privilege or the practice or the power or the potential of prayer. And as we pray, pay close attention to the content. Make sure it's specific. Look at verse 31. That I may be delivered from the unbelievers in Judea, that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints. So Paul makes two very specific points. First, to be rescued from the unbelievers in Jerusalem. Now let's face it, Paul knows he's walking into the lion's den there. There are people in Jerusalem who hate Paul because they hate his message about Jesus. While he's there, 40 men will take a vow not to eat or drink until they kill Paul. That's a committed opposition, folks. So Paul knows he needs prayer. So we can pray for safety for Brian and Megan, for protection against the enemy. Pray for details about their household goods getting there, finding just the right place to live, and so on. Why pray? Because we know Satan's working against them every step of the way. Second, Paul asks for prayer so that his ministry be well received. It's interesting, isn't it? He's taking money to these people. He's taking an offering of money to Jerusalem, but he's aware there are Christians there that are skeptical about Paul, about his motives, about his plans, and that sort of thing. They aren't sure. They like how he carries out his ministry. The real reason is they simply don't know Paul. And yet Paul has been going around to the churches collecting money for famine relief there in Jerusalem. So what is that? He then has to ask the Gentile Christians in Rome to pray. Would you pray that when I get there, they'll receive the ministry that I bring? Will they accept it? That's real humility. Paul's the apostle of the Gentiles, but he has to ask the Gentiles to pray for the Jewish Christians, simply to accept his ministry, indeed his money. Now, Brian and Megan go to Germany not to offer money, but to offer their lives in Jesus, because the message of Jesus and his cross must be proclaimed. Now, people there are anticipating their arrival, but to a great extent, they're taking pigs in a poke here, all right? They're not sure what they're getting in Brian and Megan. Now, we know what they're getting, but they don't know yet. So we need to pray that these two humble servants' ministry will be well received by the German church, knowing that as they get to know them, they're going to love them the way that we do. And without making much comment, we suggest that these two prayer requests apply here as well. One, that God would guard us from Satan's opposition to the ministry. I do believe Satan's at work because God is blessing here. Second, we need the prayers of all of the CMPC family that the ministry here will continue to be a fruitful ministry that's making a growing impact on the kingdom of God here and around the world. Paul then goes on to say, so that, notice, by God's will, I may come to you with joy and be refreshed in your company. Paul wants, you know, very specific results here to the prayers of God's people. And that's why he says, so that. Ray Pritchard calls that the so that principle. I suggest that it's really a tonic for a boring prayer life. He says this, many times our prayers are good, but aimless. We ask God to bless someone or to strengthen someone, but we have no particular end in mind. So when we add so that to our petitions, it forces us to ask, what do I really want God to do in a person's life? If we don't have a reason for that particular prayer, maybe it's not worth praying in the first place. So why do we want God to bless Brian and Megan? Why do we want God to bless our youth ministry, our children's ministry here? Lord, bless our youth ministry so that our students will be equipped and challenged to live their faith and share their faith. Lord, bless Brian and Megan so that the church in Germany may grow and be equipped for ministry, reaching out to the lost in Berlin so that many come to Christ. Lord, use the ministry to children in Berlin and in Chestnut Mountain so that children come to know Christ and perhaps will reach their families through the children. Now, Paul has two specific so that's here, to get to Rome and be refreshed by them. Paul wants to be with them. When? If you look up a little bit, it says when he's on his way to Spain. Paul's always looking for that next frontier. He's looking towards the future advance of the gospel. And as we pray for Brian and Megan, may it be so that others will be raised up from our midst to go on to the next frontiers for CMPC. And all we're praying for Brian and Megan so that they'll return to us and refresh us. You know, the goal is that our time apart would be mutual, beneficial for the kingdom, and that when we are reunited, either as teams perhaps go to Germany or through their visits home or through emails or Skype or whatever, there'll be a mutual refreshing and encouragement and advancement of the kingdom of God. Let me just point us briefly to the benediction that's in verses 5 and 6, because it's a benediction that reminds us that it's about God. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accordance with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that'd be my prayer wish for CMPC today as part of our church body relocates to Berlin. God has a track record. He does give endurance and encouragement by His Spirit. By reading his book. And as surely as he gives us that, I pray he'll give us harmony with one another, blending our voices together, our unique gifts and talents for ministry focused on Jesus. You see, as we follow Jesus, he makes us fishers of people. That's a promise. And as we follow him, the barriers are broken down between people. Between us, so that we can focus on Jesus and not on ourselves. As we follow Jesus, he'll keep us together Because you see the so that there, simply that. If we have unity as we follow Jesus, then we have one voice, a focused ministry that shares with people the gospel of Jesus Christ. We'll have a simultaneous active ministry here in Chestnut Mountain and then in Berlin. And the result is that we'll glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we exist, to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. So what about us? Ever since those bold believers began meeting in 1873, planning for a church at a place called Chestnut Mountain, a vision became a reality when the church was organized the following July. There's been a desire for the church to be used for the glory of God. When we commissioned Gary and Tammy 8 years ago, I said then that I hoped it wasn't the achievement and the climax of the goal, but rather that it was a precedent and a pattern to follow. Our nation's space program did not end with those first steps on to the moon. Rather, those single steps by two men became a giant leap that's made space travel common. And the frontiers keep expanding. And Brian and Megan are part of that pattern that we have seen develop and pray continues. So this is a renewed call to seek the glory of God first and foremost, to seek it in our generational ministry. The Great Commission is in Berlin geographically, but it's down the hall as well to our children, to our students. The Great Commission is our corporate commitment to those who are committed to growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, becoming disciples. Now, the Great Commission is our going into the neighborhoods around us and seeking opportunities to share Jesus and impact the lives of our neighbors. The Great Commission is our seeking to plant churches across Northeast Georgia and the country. The Great Commission are seeking to be a church made up of people who are committed to sending others where we're not able to go around the world. So to accomplish that, we need everybody involved. We recognize only a few are called to go cross-culturally. But all of us are called to ministry. All of us are called to make a difference here and now. So we need you to say yes when you're approached with ministry opportunities. Here, even as Brian and Megan say yes to the Lord in going to Berlin. You might have heard me tell before, but the night that Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin were landing on the moon, you know, people were gathering around their television sets all around the world to watch. And I was at camp. And we were all set. They had the TVs ready to go. And then this thunderstorm came up. The power went out. And while the whole world watched one of the greatest events in human history, we saw nothing. It was really disappointing to miss out on one of the greatest events of the 20th century. So let me urge you, do not miss out on what God's doing right now. And there's two ways you can miss out. One is by not participating. Get involved. If you're not sure how, see me, see Ben, D, anybody. We can help you with that. Second, we miss out if we do not have power. And we do not have power if we do not pray. Remember, distance does not matter when we're on our knees. Don't miss out by not praying for Brian and Megan. Rather, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with Brian and Megan by praying to God for them. Pray that they'll be rescued from the opposition of Satan in Berlin, and that the service may be accessible to the saints there, so that by God's grace they may come to us with joy, and together we'll be refreshed. So now we're going to ask if Brian and Megan and Maddie and Julia will come up, and if the elders will come up, and we want to commission them as we pray for them.
Come on. We're going to ask you guys to kneel, if you don't mind. And if the elders will gather around. In keeping with the Acts 13 model, we want to set apart Brian and Megan and Maddie and Julia and pray for them as they prepare to go. So let's join together in prayer. Our Lord and our God, we do give you great thanks this morning. We thank you for your goodness to us in Christ Jesus. We thank you for your goodness to us in the Moore family. Father, we thank you that you have been with them since they were small. You have carried them and walked with them as they have grown up. Lord, we thank you for their families. Father, their mothers and fathers, their siblings, their sisters and their brother. Lord, we thank you for all the work you've done in them as families and through them. Father, we thank you that you brought Brian and Megan to yourself in the saving grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that you've used them in a mighty way here among us. The ministry that they've had among us has been great, and we do give you praise for that. Lord, we thank you that you have carried them all along the way, and you've brought them to this point where they're ready to go to Berlin, Germany. And so, Lord, we know that this is your work, and we give you praise for it. Father, as we think about them, as they get ready to go, we pray that you would be with them, that you would walk with them, lead them, and guide them as they make their final preparations this next few days. As they leave on Tuesday, Lord, would you protect them? Father, we pray especially for their families, that you would be very near to them, as it'll be very difficult to watch them leave. But Lord, we give you thanks that your grace is sufficient and your power is made perfect in our weakness. So Lord, would you carry them to Germany? Father, we pray that you would protect them from Satan, that you would bound him, that he would not be able to touch them as they go. Lord, we ask that you would be with the church in Germany, that they would receive them well. Father, we pray that you would give them great favor in their eyes and that they would be able to lay down their lives for the sake of the gospel in Berlin, Germany. Lord, would you cause many people to come to know you through their lives, we ask. Father, we thank you for all that you've done here through their family. We thank you for all that you've done here in this church through them. And we just pray, Lord, we give you great thanks and pray that you would continue to work in a mighty way. And now we ask, Lord, that you would bless them and keep them. We pray that you would make your face to shine upon them, that your ways may be known all around the nations. And Lord, particularly in Berlin, Germany, that you would use them in a mighty way so that your saving grace would go forth. And that we would together, as a people of God, with the Moors, rejoice and be glad, for you do great things. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.